I think
welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're really glad you are with us today. We've got a great show. We got four people here today to talk about, well, suicide. But we're going to talk about it in a really interesting way, talking about stories that we've gone through, experiences, and a more positive way to look at it. And at the end, we've got a really big surprise because we're going to talk about this incredible event that we're about to put on in Fairfield, Iowa, that will be recorded and put on the YouTube channel. By the way, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Terry. I happen to be Dr. Terry for some reason. And this is KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. If you've got any comments about the show, any interest in exploring a topic with us, feel free to email us. You could email me directly, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at ardentcenter.com. Danielle, what's that email again?
Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at ardentcenter.com.
Danielle's got a much better voice than I do. Anyways, so we're really glad you're with us today. And you could have the shows are all going to be archived on the Ardent Center YouTube channel. Thank you, Ardent Center, for sponsoring that. And then some of the shows are archived at KRUU, and the rest will soon be re-archived there. Anyways, I am, again, really glad you're here. So let's introduce ourselves. I'm Dr. Terry, and I'll tell you why we're talking about this event in a moment. Lance, our
Hi, Dr.
Lance.
Terry. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm Lance Lashley. I'm the co-executive director of the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance and performance manager for the upcoming Hope for Life concert, which Scott mentioned that we're going to be talking about today. So thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, Lance. And Diana.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me. I'm Diana Kendros McKaig, Executive Director and Board Member of the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance, and organizing the Hope for Life concert that we're going to be putting on at May 21st.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern with Scott, and I'm really excited to be here today.
All right. So let's talk about what we're really thinking about today with this notion of suicide. Here in Fairfield, Iowa, what happened a couple years ago, there was a rash of suicides. There is, in fact, three suicides in 3 weeks from a subsection of this community. What was disturbing was from the meditating community. And what was so disturbing about it wasn't just, obviously, the people taking their lives, but it was also the community's response to that, of being in denial and even thinking, oh, they're not killing themselves, and that's what you say. Let's be straight about what's going on here. But that possibly they're enlightened and they're just leaving their bodies or whatever they want to say. And I don't have a problem with a family, whatever they works for them to cope or deal with it. But what was disturbing for me was other members of the community then coming to my therapy practice and saying, hey, maybe they got enlightened or whatever that is. Mm. And so, hey, maybe that's a good trick for me to do. And it's like, no, that's called leaving your body in a really disturbing way. And that doesn't need to happen. And so the community needed to change. Just like all across the country, people need to not be in denial about what's going on, but to address it in a more powerful way and be a stand for people to not just be alive, but to be vital, to really be vital, to go really want to be fully alive, invested in making a difference in this world. And so we started this organization here in Fairfield called the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance, or the Fairfield / Jefferson County, because we're also working with the county as well, Mental Health Alliance, addressing a whole host of issues, not just suicide, but also addressing depression, anxiety, et cetera, drug abuse, et cetera. And so we're trying to change policies, change ideas, try and change how we conceptualize wanting to do it. And the alliance notion is that there's lots of different organizations doing different kinds of things. Some are changing policies. Some are, another part of this is looking at how they could influence people on campus to do some good work there, which they have done amazing jobs. Some of it is so behind the scenes that people don't even get that things have changed. And some is very much in the open that people might or might not have noticed. Anyways, on to Lance. So Lance, tell us a story about why you got involved in the Mental Health Alliance and in this suicide event.
Well, it's kind of a long story. I started doing an internship with Dr. Terry, with you, last summer. And, you know, I've always been interested in helping other people with mental illness. My own mother has struggled with bipolar disorder. And so for that reason, I've thought about having a career in counseling and therapy. And so when I came on board to do this internship with you, Scott, you told me about the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance, and it was something that interested me. I wanted to get involved in the community and help people within the community, and I realized that was a way that I could make that happen. So I came on board. It wasn't until this past February that I really became more involved. A close friend of mine, who was a former community member here in Fairfield and a former student at MUM, committed suicide, and it was really devastating in many ways for me. It hurt me on a very deep level, and so after that, I went to the Mental Health Alliance and said, look, you know, this has happened to me personally now, to a friend of mine, and we need to do something, you know, to make this not happen again, essentially. And so we did some brainstorming and decided that we wanted to have a concert, you know, to honor the memory of my friend, but more than anything, to increase the awareness of the stigma that's associated with mental health issues and suicide in the community. We really just want to start a conversation, and that's how the Hope for Life concert came about.
That's fantastic. And when will this Hope for Life concert be?
Okay, so the Hope for Life concert is on May the 21st at 7:30 at the Stephen Sondheim Center for Performing Arts.
So the main Performing Arts Center here.
That's right.
And is anybody invited to this?
Everyone's invited. It's a free event.
So it'll cost like $1,000 to get in.
It's totally free. So we invite everyone and anyone to come.
From any community.
From any community, not just in Fairfield, but anywhere in Jefferson
County
or the surrounding counties.
And this isn't for the meditating community or the non-meditating community. This is for everybody. Is that correct?
It's for everyone.
And so if you would like to donate money, is that possible?
It is possible. We are a nonprofit organization. We do have a website.
And it costs us money, or you guys money.
It does cost us money to put these events on. And so we are trying to raise
money. Including at the Sondheim, yeah.
At the Sondheim, yes. Yeah. We're trying to raise money. You can go to hopeforlifeconcert.org where you can donate money to cover event expenses. More than anything, we just want to encourage people to come to the event and enjoy the performances that we have lined up.
So there'll be performances, and people maybe will talk a little bit about preventing suicide and getting stronger and more vital about life and that kind of thing?
That's exactly right. Diana Kendros, the executive director of the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance, is here as well.
Wow,
and so
cool.
I think she has a few things to say about it.
Okay. Do you want to talk first, Diana? I really want to hear Lance's a bit more about this story of your friend, but do you want to talk first? Or
go ahead.
Lance, you really got really engaged after your friend passed. Now,
yes.
Let's be clear about this, because we're supposed to be clear. He didn't pass. He did. There's no euphemism here.
No.
He killed himself.
He did.
And I know that's harsh for people to hear, but we need to be straight about things. Part of the way to get rid of stigma is that we're straight. If we got problems in our lives, we're depressed, we're anxious, using drugs. One of my things is I'm really, 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 did I say that enough? Against this whole notion of judgment, shame, guilt, remorse. You know, in my world, the therapy world, those are my four horsemen, and everybody's got their own four horsemen, I believe. And to get rid of all that judgment and all that guilt, we start being straight, regardless of what's going on.
Yeah, being open and honest about what really happened is absolutely essential to reduce the stigma associated with suicide.
Yeah.
So yes, my friend, he
and we don't
suicide.
Need to traumatize somebody else and hearing somebody else's stories,
yes.
But we're going to be straight. Hey, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I need help, right?
It's very important. We realize, you know, that one of the reasons why, you know, this happens, and I think this is, you know, common sense in some ways, but maybe people don't think about it too much because it's not a subject that we generally talk about as a society, but oftentimes this happens because people become so isolated. They're depressed, they have anxiety, and it's the isolation and the silence and the inability to feel comfortable talking about these feelings that I think can lead to suicide. And I think in my friend's case, it's what kind of drove him over the edge.
Well, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, he committed suicide. That's the bottom line, I think. I think the most important thing to focus on here is maybe why it happened and what we can do in the future to prevent,
okay, so,
you know, someone else from doing the same thing. You know, any time.
So what can somebody learn about his story? So he's a really good guy, from what I understand. Yeah. He seemed, as from what we've heard, just the sweetest, nicest, intelligent guy. You wouldn't even think that he kind of hid what was going on.
That's exactly right. So often, I believe that it's the case that the people who do, you know, commit suicide are people that we would not think, you know, would actually do something like that. They seem fine. And so that's part of the problem, again, is that, you know, people can't be open and honest about an experience, you know, that I think is shared by human beings all around the world. I think most people at some point in their life have felt hopeless and maybe have considered or had some kind of thoughts, you know, about their own life and the purpose of their life and whether they wanted to continue their life and whether they wanted to end it. And so, you know, talking openly about that is very, very important. It's something that I've, you know, struggled with in the past. Luckily, I've been able to reach out and get the support from friends and from counselors and therapists that I needed, you know, to make a decision to stay alive.
So people have thoughts. I think about hurting myself. That doesn't mean you're actually going to do something, right?
That's right.
Why did he do something?
You know, I wish I could answer that question. If I knew the answer to that question, you know, maybe I could have reached out and said, look, you know, this is not what we want you to do. You're a beautiful, creative soul, and I want you here on this world. I want to be a part of your life, and so do so many other people. But, you know, it's a question that I think many people have pondered. I don't know the answer to it, other than to say, you know, that isolation and silence, you know, are in some ways a big part of this issue.
I think you bring up a really interesting point that all of us ponder, which is not what can you do, what could you have done, but you. How does the person, the friend, the caretaker, the, you know, how does the other person who survives, they always go through this, sorry for the bad word, buyer's remorse. They go through this thing of like, should have, would have, could have.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is what?
Well, the truth is that, you know, I don't know that there's anything that I could have done to have prevented that. If I could have done something, I would have. But what I can do now is what I'm doing with the Fairfield
exactly.
Mental Health Alliance.
So there's nothing, you know, that you did the best you could.
That's right.
Because if you could have done something better, you would have given what you knew.
More than anything, the Hope for Life concert has been designed to bring education and awareness to this subject so that people will feel inspired to start a conversation in the community, to be free and open about talking about this subject. You know, additionally,
we want any subject in this regard. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Our primary aim is to provide resources for people. We will have mental health professionals from the community at the Hope for Life concert. And, you know, that's our primary way of saying, look, you know, there's help. If someone in the audience is feeling, you know, depressed or anxious or suicidal, or they have a friend or family member who's struggling with something like that, this is an open space, a time for them to come and say, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll feel inspired by the performances I see tonight, and maybe I can reach out and get some help.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. By the way, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Today we are talking about suicide prevention, this concert that's being, this benefit concert that's being done May 21st, I think you said. Is that correct?
Yes, May 21st.
May 21st.
7:30 p.m.
7:30. And where is it? It's at the Sondheim?
The Sondheim Center for
Performing Arts. Okay, so that's the big thing.
The big convention center.
Ah, got it. Okay. So, and everybody's invited.
And it's free.
It's free, but you're welcome to donate $1,000 or whatever you want to do. Okay, great. Okay, so Diana, tell us why you're involved in this. And thank you, Lance, by the way. I know, you know, as they said, it's not easy to share, but it takes courage to share. And so thank you for having the courage to broadcast to everybody what you've experienced. Because what you said that was so profound, and I just, I'm sorry, Diana, to just, I want to cry because I'm sorry, I get emotional on these things, is that me and Danielle talk about this all the time, about not what's the problem, but what are we going to create about it? How do you say that, Danielle?
I think one of the things is we get, you know, especially with our thoughts or like suicidal thoughts, you know, we get stuck in these thoughts that we have and we don't know how to get out of them. We get so stuck, and rather than be stuck in them, it's like, what can we do with them? What can we create from this? And so what Lance has done with his experience is, you know, you had this significant loss in your life due to suicide. And so rather than sit there and stir in it and even become, you know, fall into a depression yourself, you reached out, you got the help, you, and now you're putting on this great benefit concert to help raise awareness and to remove the stigma, which is such a beautiful thing.
And as you make a difference for others, you make a difference for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I think
so.
That,
thank you. Thank
you're
you
very
for your
welcome.
Courage.
Thank you, Scott.
Diana?
Yes, thanks, Lance. That was really wonderful. It does take a lot of courage. It takes a lot of strength to really break the silence about having suicidal thoughts or any kind of mental health issues. I've been an advocate for almost 30 years. I was a Marishi University of Management student back in 1989, and I created the first peer counseling program because there was the first student ever that stood in front of the train and committed suicide. And so I actually was a psychology student, and I did an independent study. The faculty gave me full rein to do an independent study to help understand what was really going on and what could we bring to the university and therefore the community to help students, international students and from our country, to really cope with any of these mental health concerns or issues or suicidal thoughts they were having. Then I raised my family and moved away and just returned and joined the Fearful Mental Health Alliance and helped to create the Hope for Life organization, which is a nonprofit organization. The other thing that I experienced here was I raised two children, and my son, who's the youngest of the two, had an experience of being severely bullied, and it escalated to a point where it was very dangerous. He had been.
It wasn't just bullied. It was traumatizing. It was PTSD kind of trauma. It wasn't just bully like, oh, you're teasing me.
Correct. He was bullied for most of his years. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was because he's so artistic and so creative. And then at one point in time, it really did become he was assaulted. It was a trauma. It was a very severe trauma. And several months after that trauma, we started noticing that he was having visual and auditory hallucinations. Mm. When those hallucinations started to become part of his daily life and daily awareness, he ended up at University of Iowa psychiatric lockdown, so we could balance his brain chemistry and really understand how this trauma impacted and is going to impact his entire life. It was a very severe experience. We pulled him out of school, and we had to work very closely with the psychiatrists and counselors at University of Iowa. We did that for a couple of years, and we balanced his brain chemistry, but then it just got completely more severe because the stigma was still there. He was no longer accepted. He wasn't functioning very well in school, academically, socially. He was just becoming worse and worse in terms of his sadness and his depression. His brain chemistry was balanced, But aside from that, he wasn't really living his life fully.
Right, so his circumstances. We always think in both worlds. We always think biology and circumstances, or nature and nurture, as we might think of it. But we always think, how can we address the brain chemistry, and how can we address our circumstances? And we've had other shows about this and other topics, and we'll talk more about it in future topics. We're going to have another show on this soon.
Yes.
Okay.
So we made a decision to actually leave the community and enroll him into a performing arts high school in Michigan. And working
a famous one, though.
A famous one, Interlochen Center for the Arts. And it's a boarding school, but they do have day students as well. We knew that if we could focus on what was positive for him, which was his art and his writing, and bring that part of his daily awareness, and then have him with people that supported his art, understood his mental condition, understood the complexities of his socially, how he could adapt or not adapt. And we got lucky. The medications were wonderful. We had a very good psychiatrist who decreased medications, increased nutrition, increased exercise. And it doesn't always work that way. Not everyone is lucky in that regard, where the brain chemistry is balanced and the person can move forward in a very productive way. It took my son 3 years in order to do that, and now he's successfully in college on his own in Los Angeles, studying to be a filmmaker, and he's a screenwriter for television.
Fantastic. And so again, it's I wouldn't say, though, it's about luck. You were diligent. How would you say it, Danielle?
I agree. It goes back to, you took this situation and this traumatic event that happened in his life, and you didn't give up. You created something from it. He created something from his experiences, and now he's off being successful. You're here to, again, promote this wonderful event and be a part of the community again, and help not only just make changes in your own life, but make changes in other people's lives as well.
As I'm sure he will take his experience. And so it's not luck that created power.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much. And I do understand that we worked very hard. You know, we had to move. We sold everything. We let everything go. And my position with this whole thing is, I was very proactive. I was at every counseling session. I was with every psychiatrist that we saw. I was proactive with the faculty. I was there for my son no matter what. I had his back. Knowing that he had that support really helped him to start to feel safe again, to start to feel like he can move forward. So there were a lot of things involved. You're absolutely correct. When I say luck, I mean that there's so many people out there that I have learned about and have talked with, that they'll have multiple medication changes, and sometimes those medication changes don't work. In our case, the medication did work. It balanced his brain chemistry.
Right, and the point is that sometimes it doesn't work, so you have to find
other ways.
The point is, you never give up.
And I think that's important, too. Like, you weren't in denial. Nobody was in denial, too, while it was happening. It was, okay, this isn't working, so let's figure out where
else
we can go with it.
And so many parents don't understand the complexities that go along with mental illness, or in our case, it was hallucinations and psychotic behavior. And the more we educate ourselves, the more important that's going to be for our community. And part of the Hope for Life program is, we're going to have Hope for Life education. And over the coming months, we're going to bring education to our community and to our county. And the goal of these educational programs is so we can learn the signs of mental illness, how to communicate and get help, symptoms and treatments, brain biology, medications, recovery and rehabilitation. Coping skills are very essential, communication skills, all of this that the family, everyone in the family knows about and understands. But the really wonderful thing about what's going to happen is, my son, Dimitri, is actually going to open the Hope for Life concert show with a video sharing his journey of recovery and his message for hope.
Fantastic. Just a quick aside. By the way, just because somebody has psychosis does not mean they're schizophrenic or anything else.
That's correct, yes.
With severe PTSD, you can have psychosis. You could have...
Yes.
Okay. Lance.
Well, the other thing really quickly, too, is that, you know, Dimitri was really lucky that he had a mother, you know, who really cared and a family and the support that he needed. You know, it would be... I'll just say that not everyone has that support, and we're going to lose people to suicide. This event is not necessarily about, you know, ameliorating this problem altogether. It's just a start in the right direction, and to bring awareness to this issue so that we can start talking about it, as I was mentioning earlier.
So we could be a community and a support to each other.
That's right.
Not everybody has Diana in their life.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't multiply her for some reason.
No.
We've tried, but she can't. So, you know, that doesn't mean we can't be there for each other and teach us how to be there for ourselves. Because ultimately, that's what Dimitri needed, was not mom to be there for him, but for him to be there for him.
Yes.
And that's what he was taught. Once he was safe and he could get the message, that's what I'm sure he learned. Anyways, we're down to our final couple minutes here.
Yes.
So
if anyone wants more information about the Hope for Life concert,
Tell us.
They can go to Facebook and just type in Hope for Life. We have an events page.
Oh,
or
okay.
You can go to hopeforlifeevents.org or hopeforlifeconcert.org and get more information and resources. You could also go to the fairfieldmentalhealthalliance.org website.
Okay, so those all went by really fast. Can you say those again real quick?
Sure,
slow?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
I didn't hear that.
You can go for more information on the Hope for Life concert. Go to hopeforlifeconcert.org.
Is that a four, number four? Or is that a
no,
F-O-R?
It's F-O-R.
F-O-R.
Hopeforlifeconcert.org.
Okay. I could even spell that.
It's on May the 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the Sondheim Center for Performing Arts here in Fairfield.
And what I like about this is we've got a really great guy who's going to videotape it. Glenn, I'm sure, is going to videotape it for us. And so for those out of town, you might be listening in Norway or wherever you're in the world. I like the thought of Norway for some reason. Wherever you're at, you could watch this event and you could be in touch with us and give us your support, your ideas, your thoughts, because this isn't just about our community. This is about your community wherever you are, including if you happen to be here and your community is you and your partner or you and yourself. You're your own community. To get that you're not alone and don't isolate yourself. Give yourself a chance. Diana, what would you like to say? I'm sorry.
Well, I agree, Scott. I think it's very important that we look at this as a community. And one of the things that our committee is doing is we're reaching out to all the educators in town, the schools, all the public schools, the private schools, the mental health professionals. We're reaching out to corporations in Fairfield and in our county to come and participate and also be part of this community-wide event where we want to show support, understanding, and that people aren't alone, and that we have resources intact that they can go to immediately.
Wow. All right. Well,
I agree. I think if anybody's ever feeling down, just please reach out, and there will be resources available at the event.
Yes, that's our primary aim, again, is to get resources, you know, get people help. So please come to the event.
Please come to the
event. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we're working on our performer lineup. It's going to be really a celebration of hope and life.
And actually look at what we could do to make a difference.
That's right.
Well, thank you all. Again, you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Terry, KRUU 100.1 in your FM dial. Thank you all. You were fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.